The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studios. Welcome. Aaron, you are not responsible in any way for CBS News content.
Okay.
And I don't like to always come on and counterbalance. Balance, what I hear. But I have to tell you, I was shocked at their lead story here today.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. President Biden condemning U.S. border agents seen on horseback aggressively dealing with Haitian migrants.
It's an embarrassment, but it's beyond an embarrassment. It's dangerous. It's wrong.
It's also a completely made-up story. It was based on a still photo of a horseback Border Patrol agent holding his reins, and people started making up that he was whipping Haitian immigrants. And the photographer, his name is Paul Ratchey, the guy who took the photo, he said that he didn't see anybody whipping anybody. He just saw Border Patrol agents doing his job. And CBS makes it the lead story based on a phony interpretation of a photo. I really find that disappointing.
Well, I mean, the president responds to a big story. I know the vice president responded, too. I understand the response to it. The backstory, I haven't seen that report that you just mentioned, so I can't speak to that personally. But, yeah. All around, it's an unfortunate story from whatever side you want to look at it.
Yeah, no, it is. Very much so. All right, appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, he told an El Paso TV station, KTSM News, I've never seen them whip anyone, that his own photos can be misconstrued when seen out of context. And then you have the president and the vice president talking about a false story. And then we have media that repeats a false story. And all of a sudden, people think that we had Border Patrol agent. Joe Biden says, well, they're going to be dealt with harshly. For what? Doing their jobs? Because they were horseback patrol and they were holding the reins on a horse? And so, yes, I do need to balance things out occasionally. And when the photographer who took the picture says he never saw them whip anyone, and then the president and the vice president of the United States, for reasons I don't understand, because the border disaster is on them, Biden's never been to the border in his life, Kamala has never been to the border hotspot in her life, even though she's the border czar, and then they make up a story based on a still photo, and then it gets repeated. Right as we're coming into my show. So I just got to make sure that that you get all sides. That's what my whole show is about. That's what my whole life has been about, to making sure that you get all perspectives on a story. You get what everybody else tells you, and then you get from me a different view. I was going to say the truth, but that would have ticked people off. All right. And before I get into the big lead, Andrew, did you enjoy the little pre-show moments that we had today?
Caught me off guard. I thought you were just listening to something, but apparently it was a nice little gift, a nice Friday gift.
That's what I try to give. I really, with emotion, I sang Tower of Power's I'm Still a Young Man.
Oh, I felt it. You definitely could have gone into opera, I think, if this didn't work out, if this really radio thing.
Opera, Motown. Blues. I got soul, man.
Well, you got lungs. I'm saying you got the lungs. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Appreciate it. All right. With all that is mere prelude. Now I have to talk about really depressing, sad stuff. Let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
As you know, a couple of months ago, a 15-year-old girl stole her godmother's car, went out with a couple of friends, and while driving at 6 a.m. on a Sunday, she saw a man named Greg Moore out for a 14-mile early morning run. Greg Moore doing the healthiest thing you can do, out exercising early on a beautiful summer morning. And the girl told the people in the car, I'm going to hit him. And she did, at 50 miles an hour, sent his body flying through the air, and then laughed about it. According to the people in her family, family members reported that she laughed about it after she knocked Greg Moore through the air. I believe that this 15-year-old girl should be charged as an adult. I know that Greg Moore's widow believes that. There's also some visual evidence that she probably did the same thing to another guy a day or two earlier, but they haven't found the victim yet, and they don't know the extent of that guy's injuries. But they do have either a picture or video of her car hitting another guy a day or two before that. I mean, this is a real psychopathic kid. Sad. I don't know how she turned out like this, but I know that we should be protected from her. The person who had to make that charging decision is Dan Satterberg. And we are now hearing, I talked to his spokesman when this all was coming down. But now we're hearing from Satterberg for the first time in an exclusive interview with our news partners at Cairo 7. He said that the reason he's not charging this girl as an adult is because she didn't mean that to kill the guy.
Juvenile court exists for a reason, and it exists for 15-year-old girls who do stupid things. She didn't intend to kill anybody. There's no proof of that at all. The proof is that she intended to bump him, and we all know how incredibly dangerous that is.
She intended to bump him at 50 miles an hour? Are you telling me that a 15-year-old girl doesn't know better than that? And Dan Satterberg said a lot of other things in this Cairo 7 interview. Greg Moore's wife, Michelle, she is going to join me right after the 12:30 news live. I'm going to go through the Satterberg sound bites. We'll get her reaction to what the prosecutor has said and see if it's changed her mind about whether this girl should be charged as an adult. So she will join me right after the 12:30 news today. And then we have another story today about our state treating juvenile killers way too easily. Let me tell you what happened back in 1994 down in Longview. There was a 17-year-old guy named Timothy Hogg, and he had a friend who was about the same age, and he didn't like how his friend's family treated his friend. So Timothy Hogg decided to punish his friend's family. He grabbed his friend's 7-year-old sister, put his hands around her neck, ran a bath, and then held her underwater, drowning the girl. When he was sentenced, after being found guilty of murder, a jury of his peers and a judge sentenced him to 46 years in prison. And I was thinking about this little girl. She was 7 years old in 1994. So, she was born in 87. My oldest daughter was born in 89. My oldest daughter's 31. She's still a young woman. This little girl would now be a very young woman with more than half her life ahead of her. And who knows what kind of joys and experience she would have had between 94 and now in these 27 years. Well, yesterday, the Washington State Supreme Court ruled that a 46-year sentence was too harsh because Timothy Hogg was only 17 years old when he choked and drowned Rachel Dillard in a bathtub in 1994. The U.S. Supreme Court, 3 years ago, found that automatic life sentences for juveniles were unconstitutional. So then the question becomes, Timothy Hagg's not in prison for life. They gave him a 46-year term, which means he would get out at age 63. He was 17 when he committed the crime. He would get out at age 63. Well, I'm not far away from age 63, and I still have a lot of life ahead of me. This guy in prison, if he served his whole sentence, he could be a 63-year-old and live a lot of life after that. But bizarrely, and this is what happens when people elect far-left radical judges who do not live by the law and the state constitution. They just make up their own laws. Six of the 9 justices on the Washington State Supreme Court said a 46-year sentence for a juvenile is unconstitutional because it's the equivalent of a life sentence. Okay, U.S. Supreme Court said no life sentences for 17 and younger. I'm telling you, it's not a life sentence. It's get it out at age 63. You know who got a life sentence? Was 7-year-old Rachel Dillard. She got a life sentence. But this is what the radical left does. Why do we want to put killers back out on the street? Why do we want to put this 15-year-old girl who is sociopathic by her actions? Why do we want to put her out in 5 years and back among us? A killer, if she's found guilty. This Timothy Hag, why do we want to let him out? But now they're going to have a new sentencing hearing, and he could get out in as few as 2 years from now, at age 45. Does he deserve that much free life? And they say, well, he got his high school diploma in prison, and he's been a good citizen, and he has found faith and all of that. Understood. But imagine the terror of that 7-year-old girl with this man's hands wrapped around her neck, holding her underwater in a bathtub. Just imagine that terror. And we got Supreme Court justices who say, yeah, that's too much of a prison sentence. Let's get him out. So the minimum possible sentence now for him is 25 years, and he's already served 23. So he could be released in less than 2 years. Rachel Dillard will never have that opportunity. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
How do we trust what our politicians tell us when they think that they don't have to abide by the laws that they impose on us? You know, Jay Inslee, he has told us whether or not you are vaccinated, when you are indoors, you must wear a mask.
Fully vaccinated individuals will once again be included in the statewide mask requirement to wear masks when they are in public indoor settings.
Okay, you must wear a mask when you are in a public indoor setting. Then will somebody explain to me why King County Executive Dow Constantine posted on his Twitter last night a picture of him at what is presumably a University of Washington event. It's a campaign event with University of Washington's Vice President of External Affairs, a guy named Randy Hodgins. In the photo, Hodgins and Dow are standing side by side, big grins on their face. You know how I can see their grins? Because they're not wearing masks. Oh, but they're holding up their University of Washington purple face mask. But I'm looking in this picture. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. I see 14 people in this photo that Dow posted on Twitter. Guess how many of them are masked? Zero. You see, you have to be. If you're at an indoor event. But Dow Constantine? No. No, they're very, he only associates with a very sophisticated crowd. And you know, FOD, Friends of Dow, come on. They don't get COVID. They're too clean. So, well, most of us, and you know, they're probably going to say, well, it was a private campaign event. I don't care. You know, if we all have to wear masks when we're indoors, why wouldn't Dow Constantine do that? Why wouldn't he role model that? Why would every single person at this event be unmasked? Isn't that dangerous? Isn't that as dangerous as it would be if you were in a bar standing with 30, 50, I don't know how many people are in the room. I just see lots in the photo. If you were standing in a bar with a bunch of unmasked people, they're going to start writing tickets, they said. But for Dow? No. He's Dow Constantine. I bet he even had two King County Sheriff's deputies drive him to and from the event so he wouldn't have to bother with, you know, driving. Yeah. Yuck. That's icky. All right, and finally, in the big lead.
The big lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
After I got off the air yesterday, Jay Inslee announced that he was extending the stealing of private property by the state of Washington. He said he's extending the eviction moratorium in our state, which means the state has taken control of rental homes and apartments from the owners. The owners still have to pay property taxes. They still have to pay mortgages. They still have to pay utilities, but their tenants do not have to pay. And a lot of people who are capable of paying or fully employed are just taking advantage of that and stiffing the landlords. But stealing private property, even though the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that this is unconstitutional, again, Dow and Jay, they're extra constitutional. This is an emergency. So we can do things that are beyond the Constitution. And then in Seattle, Shama Sawant and a committee on the Seattle City Council has passed what could be the most landlord-unfriendly laws in the United States of America. According to the bills, if you want to raise your rent by 10% or more, you have to give 6 months' notice. Does that happen to you? Does, you know, if you're your plumber, your landscape person, or whoever, do they have to give you 6 months' notice before they raise their rates? No. Does car dealership have to? Does the boat deal? No, nobody does. Food is more than 10% higher than it was 6 months ago. Do the grocery stores have to warn us? No. But Seattle City Council thinks landlords should have to. And then if a tenant moves out, the landlords would have to give them 3 months' rent for relocation costs. So if the rent's $1,800 a month and a renter leaves because of a rent increase, landlords would have to give them $5,400. I mean, this is insanity. This is like, and I'm very comfortable with this comparison, this is like communist control. Because you have the government taking over private property, private land. And, man, we should be wary of that. But a lot of people just, oh, what the heck? What the heck? It's Seattle. And that is your big lead this hour.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
We're going to check the news for you. And then the wife of Greg Moore, the jogger killed in the hit and run, she'll join me live to react to what Dan Satterberg said about the charging of that 15-year-old girl. We'll talk with Michelle Moore next here on the Dory Monson Show. It was just over 2 months ago when a man named Greg Moore down in Maple Valley was doing one of the healthiest things we can do. He was out for an early morning, long Sunday run, an avid runner. He had gotten himself in great shape. And that's when a 15-year-old girl came from out of nowhere, going 50 miles an hour, intentionally, according to her family members, hit Greg Moore, later laughed about it, and killed the man. We're now hearing firsthand for the first time from King County Prosecutor Dan Satterberg, who has decided to not charge this girl as an adult. And I wanted to get a reaction to what Dan Satterberg is saying from Greg Moore's wife, Michelle, who joins me live here on the Dory Monson Show. Michelle, thank you for coming on with me again.
Hi, Dory. Are you sick of talking to me yet?
I am not. In fact, I might have to pay you a co-host fee one of these days, Michelle. Did you see the Dan Satterberg interview?
I did not see the interview. I read his statement, and I found it very alarming.
I'm guessing nothing has changed. So many of us believe that this girl should be charged as an adult. I'm guessing nothing has changed in your perspective on this.
Nothing has changed in my perspective. In fact, if anything, I feel that way, you know, more and more as things come out about this person and as the days and weeks pass.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
she was not acting like a child. She was acting like an adult.
Yes. And since you and I last talked, we found out that there is likely another victim. There's a picture or video of her hitting another person, but they haven't found that person. Let me play for you what Dan Satterberg told our news partners at Cairo 7. And it started with, and I found this appalling.
Juvenile court exists for a reason, and it exists for 15-year-old girls who do stupid things. She didn't intend to kill anybody. There's no proof of that at all. The proof is that she intended to bump him, and we all know how incredibly dangerous that is.
Michelle, she didn't intend to kill Greg. She just intended to bump him at 50 miles an hour.
It's funny that you chose that quote because I saw that transcribed, and I took a screenshot of it because that was the most disturbing thing that I saw in that statement. Yeah, he is making it sound like she is a, you know, normal 15-year-old girl, and that is not the case. This was not the first person she hit. She has never been convicted of anything, but let me tell you, she is not a good girl. She has gotten herself into a lot of trouble, just has been able to evade the law, not get caught for the things that she's done. But I'm getting all sorts of statements from people that know her, and I've seen videos of things that she's done, and she's a bad person, and she's not going to learn anything in less than 6 years.
Five years, and if she gets the max, 5 years in juvie. Dan Satterberg's office has been flooded with people who, like you, mm-hmm. believe she should be charged as an adult. Here's what he said.
I understand that people are upset, and my inbox is full of angry emails from people, and that's fine, and they can express their view. As the prosecutor, I have to decide what the law allows and what the proper venue is.
And that's what they told me when I talked with Satterberg's spokesman, that it is almost impossible to charge a 15-year-old as an adult. And in fact, I have another Satterberg soundbite that I'll play for you in a moment. But I'm sure they've told you the same thing. In fact, I know they have because you told me that they told you that.
Yeah, that's what the prosecuting office told me. And I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I think that that she can be tried as an adult, especially given the heinous nature of the crime and the propensity that she has for violence. I mean, she's a danger to society, and to slap her on the wrist is just, you know, we might as well put signs up at all the high schools to say, do what you want, kids. Have at it.
Yeah, and here's, let me play one more for you. Here's one more, because this one bothered me horribly as well.
Juveniles are not just little adults. They have brains that don't anticipate consequences.
Okay, he's just said, well, she's a juvenile, she has a juvenile brain. Michelle, I have three daughters who have gone through their teen years. I have coached hundreds of kids in that age range, and none of them are killers. None of them would think to hit a guy at 50 miles an hour, and he makes it sound like, oh, that could be a common thing for 15-year-olds because they just don't think about consequences.
Yeah, that's not true. I was a kid. I had kids. You know, I mean, my little 6 and 9-year-old nieces know that if you hit a person with a car, even if you're going 10 miles an hour, you can kill a person if you hit them just right. You know, this girl absolutely knew.
Well, I mean, it's almost impossible for the person not to die if they're hit by a, you know, 2-ton, 1-ton car.
Yeah,
at 50 miles an hour. So here's one more about, he will charge some juveniles as adults.
Making the decision to decline a case from juvenile court to adult court is up to a judge, but it does take a request from the prosecutor, and Satterberg is not making a request. He's saving it for the most egregious cases, with the most violent offenders who need to be tracked well after they turn 21.
In fact, we are fighting hard right now to put two 15-year-olds into adult court.
In February 2020, detectives say a 15-year-old nearly stabbed the owner of a Kenmore convenience store to death. Investigators say the teen was angry when he wasn't allowed to buy vape products and came back with a butcher knife. And in June 2019 in Renton, police say a 15-year-old followed a woman off a bus, beat and raped her for hours in a park near the Cedar River.
Okay, so he is seeking adult court for two 15-year-olds, the same age as the girl who killed your husband. And he said he saves it for the most egregious crimes. And just knowing you, the little bit that I've gotten to know you in the times we've talked, Michelle, that broke my heart. It infuriated me, but broke my heart to say that attempting or nearly stabbed to death a guy in Kenmore is more egregious than hitting Greg at 50 miles an hour. I could not believe my ears on that one.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And, you know, again, like I said, this is a violent person. You know, that she may not have, you know, a rap sheet, but if you do a little digging, you can find that she is a violent person, and she's not going to be rehabilitated, you know, at a juvenile detention center in that short amount of time. It's just not going to happen. And, you know, Greg's life mattered. Greg's life mattered, just like, you know, the people that you just mentioned, their lives mattered. Well, so did Greg.
Yeah. One last one. Dan Satterberg said that the girl was just playing a prank.
Those are very different from a 15-year-old who's joyriding in a car without permission and who thinks that they can get close enough to people to bump them and annoy them, and it's a prank. Those are very different cases. I see it, and I think most people who take a moment will see the difference between the two of them.
It was very different, Michelle, because she was joyriding, and she just was trying to bump and annoy Greg.
Well, and I don't understand that, because the thing that I keep saying is, you know, if I say, hey, Dory, I'm going to tickle you, and then I shoot you in the head with a gun, does that mean I tickled you? It doesn't make any sense. She can say, I'm going to bump him. But if her action results in the death of someone, she wasn't going to bump him. She was going to kill him.
Well, and she likely knew that she killed him.
She
saw the body fly through the air, and according to family members, she laughed about it. I mean, that's sociopathic.
And I'm pretty sure they turned the car around and took a picture, or at least got out and looked, because I've done the math on the time difference between the cameras, and there's about 30 seconds unaccounted for, more if they were going fast, which they were.
Wow.
And
well,
then
I wanted to give you a chance to respond. If Dan Satterberg is listening right now, what do you want to say to him?
You're not getting reelected.
Yeah. I've heard that from a lot of people. All right, Michelle, I appreciate it. I really wanted to get your reaction, because I found those comments to be just outrageous from our prosecutor.
Yeah. Can I take a moment to just thank Council Member Reagan Dunn, though? I have not had a chance to speak with him yet, but I really wanted to thank him for going to bat for my family. I didn't even ask him to do that, and I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, I had him on my show a few days ago to talk about that, and he was really trying to push for adult charges.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, once again, bless you and your family, Michelle. So sorry. I don't want to make you relive this, but I also think it's good to get a reaction from what I consider to be really bad public comments from a public official.
And this doesn't need to be over. You know, tell your listeners to keep hassling him, you know? I'm still hopeful that this can change.
Got it. Okay. Michelle, we'll stay in touch. All my best to you.
Okay. Thank you, Dory.
Okay. All right. Michelle Moore, her husband Greg, killed by a 15-year-old. It was a prank. She was just trying to bump and annoy him at 50 miles an hour. Unbelievable. All right. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. I don't like this bumper. I know that. Can we take this out of the rotation?
Sure. I was a little bit last second there. I wasn't really proud of it either.
No, holy moly. Spot some of the text messages. that I got after my very opening comments in the show. So I was listening to CBS News at the top of the hour, and they made a story that is simply not true, their lead story.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. President Biden condemning U.S. border agents seen on horseback aggressively dealing with Haitian migrants.
It's an embarrassment, but it's beyond an embarrassment. It's dangerous. It's wrong.
Okay, it's also phony. It's also phony. I have the story now with this El Paso TV station. The photographs, which were taken Sunday... here, let me read you the whole story. The photographer behind images depicting border agents, Border Patrol agents on horseback, told KTSM things are not exactly what they seem when it comes to the photos. The photographs, which were taken Sunday, appear to show agents on horses with a whip in hand. The photos caused outrage because from certain angles, it appears to show Border Patrol whipping migrants. But photographer Paul Ratchie said he and his colleagues never saw agents whipping anyone. Some of the Haitian men started running, trying to go around the horses, Ratchie said. So it's a phony story. So then I get some text messages, and I understand that it's getting harder and harder and harder to support anything Joe Biden does and says because he's lost it. But some of you are still trying to. And so I had a couple people say, yeah, Dory, watch the video. Did you not see the video where they were grabbing the Haitian guy's shirt? What? Wait a sec. Are you telling me that a Border Patrol agent, a United States Border Patrol agent, grabbed the shirt of an illegal alien trying to illegally come into the United States of America, and they grab their shirt? Oh, my goodness! Well, I see why Joe Biden wants them fired then. But this is... I don't like criticizing CBS News, because they're on our station. We've had a long partnership. But we cannot keep propagating stories that are just based on a radical lie. And now the Border Patrol agents, for doing their job, are on administrative leave, and they might get fired for doing their job. Because, you know, everybody was saying, well, we'll play for you a little bit. Here's a little bit. Kamala Harris was on The View. And I don't have that clip. But at one point, oh, here she is, asked about the border crisis.
We've been discussing those disturbing images of U.S. Border Patrol agents on horseback inhumanely corralling Haitians at the Texas border.
Inhumanely? Did she say grabbing? Is it inhumane for a Border Patrol agent to grab the shirt of somebody who's trying to cross the border that it's their job to defend?
And you've been tasked with immigration. How do you explain this?
Well, first of all, I've been very clear about the images that you and I both saw of those law enforcement officials on horses. I was outraged by it. It was horrible and deeply troubling. There's been now an investigation that is being conducted, which I fully support, and there needs to be consequence and accountability.
Wait a second. Your administration fired a rocket that killed 7 children and 3 aid workers in Afghanistan. Joe Biden pulled out our military before he got out all our citizens, and that's directly responsible for 13 of our bravest men and women service members getting blown up, along with 200 Afghans. Is there any accountability? No. One person has been fired for killing children, for killing our military. Not one person. But they're launching an investigation because a Border Patrol agent grabbed the shirt of somebody trying to illegal come into this country. And they're doing it by lying about, well, they were whipping them. It evoked images of slavery. They are such liars, but the media cannot be and should not be. And I will always try to balance things out. Oh, man, I'm just in a rage right now. Ooh, starting to work up a sweat. Okay, we're going to get the news for you here at the top of the hour. And then we got some more lies by local politicians. In fact, this one is a doozy. Tell you all about it coming up next in the Fastest 15 on the Dory Monson Show.